Hi, this is Greg with your Oklahoma Men's Clinic. If you struggle when you snuggle, don't delay. Call us today, 405-266-3000. That's 266-3000. Or schedule your free phone consultation on the web at okcmen.com. That's okcmen.com.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5. The
Cash. Showbiz News Time brought to you by Michener Farron Jewelers.
When you propose, she doesn't care whether the diamond is geological or created.
They're both 100% real.
With Michener's Freeborn, you give her a bigger diamond for your money.
So an actor named Jamie Costa went viral this week after he posted video of himself portraying Robin Williams in a short film depicting the moment that Robin found out that his friend John Belushi had died. We played that clip the other day. It was a pretty good performance that impressed a lot of people. But people started sending it to Robin's daughter, Zelda Williams, figuring that she would appreciate that. But they were wrong. Zelda tweeted, guys, I'm only saying this because I don't think it'll stop until I acknowledge it. Please stop sending me the test footage. I've seen it. Jamie is super talented, and this isn't against him, but you guys spamming me an impression of my late dad on one of his saddest days is weird.
Yeah,
and
I
would agree.
Yeah.
I think that would totally be weird. Why would you do that? Like, send that to
Because
her?
People don't really think don't about think what it is that they're doing. They think, oh, Robin Williams, his daughter, she'd want to see how good this guy is at doing her dad. And they don't think about it from her perspective of having this horrible wound of her father who committed suicide reopened because they send her this guy who's impersonating her dad.
Yeah. It's just really weird how people, like, feel like they know somebody and they really don't.
Yeah.
You know, all that people know is that she's Robin Williams' daughter. It's not like you're close friends with her or know how she would react. So it's just weird to me that people would send her that video. Howie Mandel, we kind of found out what made him collapse at that Starbucks, possibly. He now came out and said that he had a colonoscopy a few days ago, which resulted in him being dehydrated. He says that he continued working after the procedure and was drinking a lot of caffeine, which made him even more dehydrated. And that all culminated in him getting dizzy and not being able to stand up when he was at Starbucks. He was laughing it all off on his YouTube page. And he was released from the hospital, is back home, and is doing fine. Got to drink fluids after that colonoscopy.
Yeah, got to fluid up, right, man. Got to hydrate. Yeah. Got to get them, got to replenish them electrolytes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think caffeine's probably the best thing to drink. Did you see that Bill Clinton is in the hospital?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is the headline was Bill Clinton admitted to hospital with infection, in parenthetical, not COVID. I got to believe that's not the first infection that Bill Clinton has had to deal with in his life. You know what I mean?
Bada bing, bada boom.
There it is.
He was diagnosed with a urological infection that morphed into broader infection. The notification I got said sepsis.
That's pretty hardcore.
He was in California for an event earlier this week when he started to not feel well. And, then got rushed to the hospital, and it's kind of morphed into this issue. He says that he is on the mend, or his spokesperson says that he is on the mend.
Okay, good.
So, but yeah, sepsis is dangerous, right?
Yeah,
so when I saw
sure.
that, I'm like, man, I hope he makes it, but it sounds like he is going to. Are you still watching Impeachment, American
You know,
Crime
I
Story?
Watched the first two, and I have not seen any of the rest since then. I've got to catch up. I may try and do that this weekend. Are you still liking it?
I do. Yeah, I really like it. Man, Sarah Paulson is so good as Linda Tripp.
It's bizarre to see her as Linda Tripp. But yeah, it's amazing
really weird
how she can morph herself into these various people that she's played over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Robert Durst from The Jinx got sentenced yesterday to life in prison without a chance of parole for the murder of his best friend, Susan Berman, two decades ago. He is 78 years old now, and he was convicted in Los Angeles Superior Court last month of first-degree murder for shooting Susan Berman point-blank in the back of the head at her home in December 2000. He silenced her to prevent her from incriminating him in the reopened investigation of his wife's 1982 disappearance in New York.
Does he still have all his money?
I'm not sure. He was estimated by prosecutors to have $100 million. Okay. And so I don't know if he has lost that money. I mean, I'm sure these attorneys have been expensive.
I mean, he's bound to appeal this ruling, and I mean, he has no other alternative other than go to jail and die. So I'm sure he will appeal it, especially if he has enough money to be able to hire people to do it well. But I just can't imagine any other punishment for the guy than putting him in prison for the rest of his life with no possibility of parole, because the guy has, it's not like he did one thing in the heat of passion and then moved on and lived the rest of his life. I mean, the guy has been into all of these different things that he is clearly a threat to society.
He killed his neighbor, but got acquitted for that, even though he chopped the dude up, right? And like threw him in the ocean, his neighbor, when he was living, I think he was in Texas at that point. Susan Berman, his best friend, was reportedly the person who gave him a phony alibi when his wife, Kathy, disappeared back in the early 1980s. Kathy Durst has never been found, and he's never been charged with a crime related to her appearance. So it's interesting. He did get charged with a crime that they said point blank was because she was his alibi, and that's why he killed her.
Right.
But they haven't reopened the investigation into Kathy Durst, or if they have, it's gone completely cold. Still so crazy. That has to be one of the craziest documentaries.
Well, the fact that they got him on tape saying, basically admitting to the crime, although he's, you know, he and his lawyers have tried to backpedal that and say it was not an admission and try and justify what it was that he, why he said what he said and what he meant when he said it. He basically admitted to having done it and that they knew that he had done it. And so he basically said, I got caught. I mean, that's that you,
what did he say? He was like, I killed them all.
Yeah, right. I killed them all, or whatever it was that he said. You just don't get that. You just don't. I mean, imagine doing a documentary on Bill Cosby or OJ and them at some point in the course of filming and interviewing them, them as an aside to themselves saying, oh, I can't believe I killed those people, or I can't believe I drugged all those women and raped them. That's basically what Robert Durst did in The Jinx.
That feels like it was one of the first. I mean, I know that there have been a lot of true crime documentaries, but
it
like
was
they kind of set off the first like new wave of crime documentaries.
It and that one about that murder in Big Bend in Texas. I don't remember the name of that town, but you know that small town down in Texas. Remember we were watching that documentary on A&E and The Jinx came on, and The Jinx was like so much more than that one, and that sort of like kicked the door wide open on this true crime boom that we've had over the last several years.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me kind of want to go back and rewatch The Jinx.
Yeah, me too. I've forgotten so much about it that I feel like I need to go watch it. And then,
yeah,
you know,
just me reading those details out loud, they all sounded familiar, but I had forgotten so much about, like, I forgot that Susan Berman is the one that told police basically that he was with her.
And Making a Murderer then came out, and just, you know, that became everybody's infatuation. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, Tiger King came out, and then that was everything. I mean, not that it was necessarily true crime. Well, I guess it was. I mean, he basically was plotting to have her murdered, if depending on who you believe. So, yeah, it was true crime in a certain sort of way, just in a different manner than what you typically think of.
Carol Baskin has...
Who?
Carol Baskins.
Thank you.
has slammed Tiger King ever since it came out.
Right.
Saying that she thought it was going to be one thing, but it turned out to be another. And now she is getting her own documentary. You know, she owns Joe Exotic's former zoo now, and she is investigating the treatment of big cats at his former zoo in this new docuseries for Discovery Plus.
They got rid of that zoo. They sold that land. Theoretically, they still own, quote unquote, the zoo as much as it exists. But I think that this must have been done before they got rid of the property. Because if you remember, it was a big story a few months ago that they had sold that property in Wynnewood.
Right, right. So I guess they did tape this earlier. But here's the promo that Carol Baskin posted of her new documentary on Discovery Plus.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin. We were told Tiger King was a documentary about the abuse of wild animals. It turned out to be a reality TV show at best. I've been going after animal exploiters for decades. Joe Exotic is one of them, and he's in jail. I want to go on to bringing down the next bad guy. We have an investigator to help us make sense of the things that we're finding.
They're going to do whatever it takes to protect their product.
We are going to catch you. What are they doing that we can document?
Names, phone numbers, sales receipts.
That is a huge operation.
These people are known to be violent.
This is about animal protection.
You're abusing big cats? I'm coming for you.
I think it's interesting she has such a bee in her bonnet about Tiger King, because let me just play devil's advocate for you here for a second. If this show came out before Tiger King, the people that are into animal rights, ecological type documentaries, a Blackfish, if you will, or Whale Wars kind of programming, would watch it. There'd be a fraction of the people in the world that watched it and were moved by it and maybe were motivated to action by it to try and get laws changed and things done. She's so upset about Tiger King because she came off questionably in that series. I would argue way more people watched Tiger King and it became this cultural touchstone for a moment. And therefore, the cause of these tigers and cats in these quote-unquote zoos or sanctuaries or whatever people happen to call them in whatever particular instance became way more of a high-profile thing and way more people have an awareness of it than would have had if this thing had come out on Discovery Plus 10 years ago and nobody had really watched it and it just went away. So I know that she is unhappy with her portrayal in Tiger King, and rightfully so. But I do think that they still accomplished what she wanted them to accomplish. They just did it through a more titillizing way, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, and she sold the park for $140,000 just back in August to a couple. And there was a stipulation that they could never use that property for a zoo.
Well, if you remember, there was a stipulation that it could not be called Tiger King anything. So it couldn't be Tiger King self-storage. It couldn't be Tiger King RV park. It couldn't be Tiger King pawn shop. That, like, that as part of the transfer of property, there was an amendment placed into it that they were not allowed to use the words Tiger
King.
Any
affiliation
in whatever it was that they did with it.
And no exotic animals at all. It said that since she got control back in 2020 over the zoo, that property sat vacant for a really long time. So I'm trying to figure out when she was there shooting this documentary, but I guess we'll find out. Do you have Discovery Plus?
No, I don't. And I should, because it's only like $4 or $5 a month. And I love Discovery.
You can just shoot me over that login.
Is that what you were fishing for? You should have just come out and said, do you have a login that I could use?
Put it out there.
Do you think she is just vengeful, or did she actually have a plan for that property? Or was she just like, I'm going to get it, and then it's just going to sit there?
No, it was all about just getting the property and taking it away from Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
And partly because, if you remember in Tiger King, he went to such great lengths to protect the property from her or anybody else, putting it in his mom's name, I think, or his dad's name. And then he gave it to one of the workers, like put it in one of the workers' names, even though they didn't really own it. There was some sort of an arrangement with that. And so there was all of this shenanigan going on to try and protect that property. So I think that, and frankly, ultimately, at the end of the day, he didn't have anything else they could take away from him. It's not like he had a bunch of money in the bank that they could get a judgment on. It was that, or you walk away with nothing, with just the proclamation that he was in the wrong and you were in the right, and maybe he goes to jail.
Right. Exactly.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit.
and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So it doesn't look like Bill Cosby's troubles or legal troubles are going to be over anytime soon. The 84-year-old has been sued for sexual assault by actress Lily Bernard, who claims that she was drugged and raped by her mentor in 1990. And Cosby is maintaining his innocence. She actually came forward as a victim years ago, but she said yesterday, "I've waited a long time to be able to pursue my case in court, and I look forward to being heard and to hold Cosby accountable for what he did to me. Although it occurred long ago, I still live with the fear, pain, and shame every day of my life." The lawsuit was filed in New Jersey, and it's pursuant to the state's 2-year look-back window that allows sexual abuse survivors to bring civil claims regardless of when an assault occurred. She says that she met Bill Cosby on the set of The Cosby Show, where he offered to be her mentor for her acting career. According to the lawsuit, Cosby looked upon Miss Bernard as if she were his daughter, emphasizing that chastity was a virtue, warned her of the sexual pressures of Hollywood, and said that she could call him daddy.
God, what a piece of garbage.
During a mentoring session at the Trump Taj Mahal suite, Bernard alleges that Cosby made her a non-alcoholic beverage, but after drinking it, she began to feel symptoms of dizziness and urge to vomit and weakness. She claims that she went in and out of consciousness, awaking at one point to find Mr. Cosby naked on top of her. She remembers telling him no. And the morning after the alleged rape, she claims that Cosby handed her money and secured her transportation back to New York. It said Mr. Cosby sexually assaulted, battered, and drugged Miss Bernard on additional occasions as well. And he went on to threaten her to sue for defamation if she went to the police, and said that he would erase her if she reported the alleged abuse. Cosby's lawyer is fighting back and said that he continues to maintain steadfast in his innocence and will vigorously fight any alleged allegations waged against him. And he said that he's willing and able to fight this to the highest court in the United States of America.
Wow.
Jeez. Cher has gone after the widow of her late ex-husband, Sonny Bono. She filed a suit against Mary Bono Wednesday in federal court, alleging that she has been withholding royalties from Sonny and Cher's 1960 hits, such as I Got You, Babe, and The Beat Goes On. According to the legal documents, Cher claims that when she and Sonny divorced in 1975, they agreed to an equal split of their music royalties, and they inked a deal to that effect when they settled the divorce in 1978. And Cher alleges that Mary has been trying to undo her ownership of those rights and royalties in recent years. So now she is suing for at least $1 million in damages and wants a judge to declare that that 1978 divorce settlement splitting up the music royalties is still enforceable going forward.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know. I don't know the specifics of their performance and publishing stuff, but it's weird that it was being administered through Sonny Bono. In other words, it sounds like he would get paid and then he would pay Cher from what he got paid, as opposed to there being a split somewhere along the way.
Right.
Which is weird. You think if there was that much money involved and the period of time that it has been, and especially, I mean, Sonny, it's not like Sonny Bono died 3 years ago. He's been gone for a long time. So it's just it's a strange situation on multiple levels, the way this thing has played out.
Plus, yeah, he died in 1998, I think.
You wouldn't think there would be that much. I mean, I guess The Beat Goes On has been re-recorded enough that maybe there's some value in it. But, I mean, when's the last time you heard a Sonny and Cher song anywhere besides, like, Groundhog Day?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, she says there's $1 million in damages. He's been gone for 23 years.
Yeah. I mean, maybe now, that's maybe so that's maybe. Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much money that generates over the course of a year. So maybe it generates a lot more than I think. And then if you multiply that by the number of years, maybe there is $1 million there.
I saw that the Netflix CEO who released that statement defending Dave Chappelle a few days ago.
Ted Sarandos?
Ted Sarandos wrote in a staff memo that Netflix is working hard to ensure that marginalized communities aren't defined by a single story, and is kind of defending himself by saying, listen, we have Orange is the New Black, Control Z, Hannah Gadsby, who's a comedian from Australia, and then Dave Chappelle, all on Netflix. So we're working on increasing diversity on the content team. Hannah Gadsby, the comedian, fired back. She is a lesbian, autistic comedian. Have you ever seen any of her stuff?
I've heard her name, but I've never seen it. I've heard other comedians reference her work, and it's very polarizing, her work. Some people are like, I totally get it. I totally think that it's great what she's doing. And then I've heard other people say, I just don't really understand exactly what she's doing. She's not a... I think she's a little bit more of like a... essayist is not the right word. Dramatist is not the right word. But I think she's a little bit more performance-based than tell jokes and tell funny anecdotes, correct?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, she does do some stand-up as well. But she wrote on Twitter, hey, Ted Sarandos, just a quick note to let you know that I'd prefer if you didn't drag my name into your mess. Now I have to deal with even more of the hate and anger that Dave Chappelle's fans like to unleash on me every time Dave gets $20 million to process his emotionally stunted partial worldview. You don't pay me nearly enough to deal with the real world consequences of hate speech dog whistling you refuse to acknowledge. She said, F you and your amoral algorithm cult. I take craps with more backbone than you. Except she didn't say craps.
Okay.
She said, that's just a joke. I definitely didn't cross a line because there isn't one.
Mm.
So I think all of her specials are pretty much on Netflix. So that's kind of ballsy to call him out. Okay, this weekend in theaters, Halloween Kills will be in theaters. Jamie Lee Curtis is back as Laurie.
Am I the only one that every time I see the trailer for this, I think it's an episode of The Walking Dead or a season of The Walking Dead that they're promoting because she looks so much like Carol on The Walking Dead?
Yeah. Your girl, Judy Greer.
Is she in it?
Is in it. Yeah, she plays Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter, Karen.
Interesting. Yeah. Didn't know that.
Karen. Yeah. Also, The Last Duel. Matt Damon plays a knight.
I got to say, I'm kind of interested in this based on what I've seen.
He challenges his squire to trial by combat after his wife accuses him of raping her. Jodie Comer plays his wife. Adam Driver is his accused best friend, and then Ben Affleck is the nobleman that Matt Damon is sworn to serve. It's directed by Ridley Scott. I wonder if it's getting good reviews.
I've not seen any reviews on it, but the trailers of it that I've seen kind of have me intrigued. So
yeah,
hopefully Craig's
seen it, or at
least has seen some reviews on it and can speak to it when we talk to him coming up in a little bit. But it does look pretty decent.
Tonight on Showtime, the sports documentary Passion Play, Russell Westbrook. I didn't know that this was coming out.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was coming out, but this is that documentary that it's self-produced. So it's another one of those Michael Jordan deals where you're going to get his perspective on himself. I don't know how enlightening that will or won't be, but I do know that this is that thing that he funded and
right.
was involved in.
And then tomorrow night, Rami Malek hosts SNL and Young Thug. You guys are big Young Thug fans, is the musical guest. And then Sunday, the seventh season premiere of Fear the Walking Dead and the third season premiere of Succession.
That's what I was
which
waiting
is
for.
So exciting. I can't wait to watch. That is it for Showbiz News today.
Thank you, Chronic.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.